Mindfulness and meditation practices of the Eightfold Path have gained tremendous popularity in the modern times. Can you please elaborate on how the ethics-related practices, right speech, right action, right livelihood, contribute toward the end of suffering? Yeah, I think it is important to recognize that this is an Eightfold Path. It's not that these different practices are not related or they're extraneous to the path, but they're part and parcel of the whole mosaic that creates the structure of a path leading to the end of suffering. So that the sila-related practices of right speech, right action, right livelihood, they lay a foundation. And one of the things that is important, I mean, there's aspects of sila, there's also aspects of, like, generosity and giving and sharing that lay a fundamental foundation of how we treat ourselves, just that sense. And again, when I was mentioning this morning about Hiri and Otapa, and being in that sense of conscience and concern, and it's about ethics, ethics-related practices, but how those ethics are grounded in that sense of shrinking back from what's unskillful, because it doesn't uplift me. It doesn't brighten my heart, really. So that there's a fundamental respect for oneself, that one is really looking after oneself. It's not like a moralistic sense of I've got to be like this. It's more like, oh, this is the most sensible thing to do because it makes me feel good and it makes me live in the world with a fundamental harmony, and that's beautiful. And so in the same. These and then that sense of concern of that all actions have results, and so you don't want to do actions that are going to be harmful for oneself or harmful for others. So one pulls back because it's the most sensible thing to be doing, it's not a judgy sort of thing. It's more like, how does it make me feel? And if we're concerned with freedom from suffering, then we want to pay attention to these. And also, one of the aspects of the Eightfold Path that I think is really important to understand is that when we talk about right speech, right action, right livelihood. Again, the English language puts us into a place of kind of an absolute right, absolute wrong. Just black and white, not much nuance. But in the Pali language, the words that the Buddha uses are Samma vaja, samma gammanta, samma ajivo. The word that is translated as right is samma. And samma, of course, it does mean it has a meaning of right, but it's the fun. It's a musical term, so that in the sense that, in order for something to be right, it has to be in tune. And that's a whole different feeling, because all you have to do, we do chanting at the monastery, and when somebody is not right in tune, it can be really painful. And it doesn't mean everybody has to have exactly the same pitch, but when somebody is, and it's even more painful when they're enthusiastic as well. So that sense of but is there, you know, the effect is okay, it's out of tune, it's out of balance, it's out of whack. And so that sense of just right is maybe a nice way. So the ethics, it's just right for what? For freedom from suffering. It's the mindfulness and the meditation. It needs to be just right. The wisdom and discernment need to be just right, because you can be incredibly intelligent and analyze Buddhist philosophy and just be a pain in the butt. And that is just really misses the point. Yeah. And the whole point is freedom from suffering. And this is something that, you know, I think that I feel incredibly blessed to have been, to have the good fortune to be have met Ajahn Chah, and to have been in his presence, receive guidance from him. And just because, yeah, some things can be on paper, and it all sounds good, but then when you actually see somebody living a life of wisdom and compassion, and having this sense of unshakability.